This is David Watson, and I'm at the residency of Ken Lilly, and I'm here to interview Ken about his memories and life in Union County. Okay, I guess we could start from here. I'd like to start first off just finding out a little bit about your family and where your family is originally from.
Well, family, my mother and father, and I think it was three siblings, came here and from West Virginia. About, I want to say
1905. Do you know why they left West Virginia?
Well, I think they left West Virginia because my mother had some of her folks were out here, and I don't know when they came out. But my mother and dad, of course, married before they came out here in West Virginia. Hmm.
So you would say family ties?
Family ties probably brought them out, yeah.
Brought them out to Union County. So
some of them were located in Wallowa County, but I think my folks never lived in Wallowa County. I'm not sure of that.
Okay. What was your dad's first employment when he came into this county?
Well, I imagine it was I know he worked at a flour mill, and I know he worked for P.J. Lilly, who also came from West Virginia, in construction. And, his main part in life was being the custodian of the old Central School.
The old Central School. At that time, was it an elementary school?
It was an elementary school. It's torn down now. It's where the middle school sits. It was built in
1899.
But he wasn't there in 1899, of course.
Mm-hmm. Did he enjoy working with kids?
He enjoyed working with being around kids and teachers. Yes,
and
he
teachers.
Really enjoyed that job, yeah.
Now, I'm not sure, but I heard a rumor that he was well-liked by many of the students in the community and many of the people in the community. Some people even regarded him as like a counselor to some of these kids and how he interacted with them. Do you know if
that
rumor's
true? Yeah, his interaction with the children, I'm sure students that were there when he was there have told me many times that hadn't been for Mr. Lilly, they don't know what they'd have done. he was good with kids, and he liked people. He was very active in the Eagles Lodge for a number of years.
Hmm. So very active, a member of the community?
Well, he didn't, not so much in the whole community, but in that lodge, yes.
That lodge. Now, I'm not sure if this is true, but I heard that he worked at the theater. Am I thinking of someone else?
You're thinking of someone else.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. okay. When were you born? What year were you born?
1920.
1920?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I think we established this. Essentially about 9 years prior to the Great Depression.
Yeah, if it began in 1929, I guess so. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And your dad, you'd mentioned, I guess before we step into that direction, I guess I'm wondering about your youth and growing up, your elementary years here in LeGrand. What area of town did you live in when you first...
We lived on the north side of LeGrand.
north side.
On 4th Street.
Okay. And do you have any vivid memories that stick out to you?
There was a house that my dad built, the house, right? And at least he did a major part of the work. And it was, it must have been built about in the teens, 1916 or 17, maybe a little earlier. And it was a 13-room house. For some reason, they took in boarders and roomers and ended up with an apartment upstairs during my youth. But, yeah, it was a big house. It's still there. Doesn't look like it used to. It used to be a beautiful home. My mother was quite a gardener, and she kept the lawn up and the flowers and the shrubs and whatnot. Doesn't look like that now, though.
What could you have possibly done with 13 rooms?
Well, like I say, they took in boarders and rooms.
What
and of
kind?
Course, when they moved into the house, I had 5 sisters and brothers.
Okay.
And
you mentioned taking in boarders and different folks.
Yeah.
What kind of people generally stopped in and stayed there?
Well, that was before my time.
Before your time?
But I imagine there were mill people and railroad people. I can remember one rumor being that when I was home, he worked for the railroad. And but I imagine they were worked at sawmills and whatnot around here.
Hmm. Do you have any memories of your neighborhood, types of, I guess, how it looked, the lifestyle?
Well, it was right next door. There was a family, their name was Green, and they had, when they lived right next door to us, they got up to, I think it was 11 or 12 children, so we had quite a few kids in the neighborhood. And then there was children all around, and we played in the neighborhood and that sort of thing, and there was always a big field to go play on. It isn't like that anymore, but that's the way it was then.
Empty fields?
Empty fields to go play your ball games, do whatever you wanted to. And then it wasn't very far from Riveria School. We could go over there and play on the playground.
Is that where you went to
elementary
school?
That's where I went to grade school. Yeah.
Grade school?
The grade schools then were 8 grades.
8 grades. All in that same building?
All in that same building.
So you had real little youngsters and up to...
It's grades 1 through 8.
Adolescent kids all in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any memories of going through that school?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of memories going through that school. In those days, they had what they called 1B and 1A. In other words, you could enter the school in the middle of the year. I suppose that was one of the reasons for that. And so you'd advance. If you started in the middle of the year, well, then you'd spend the next year, a half year, in 1A, and so on up through the grades. Every grade was that way. And I think I entered various school in the 1B, if that's what it was. I don't know what memory now, whether it was 1A or 1B came first. But anyway, I was always I'd be in the first grade, or in one grade for half a year, and I'd be in the other grade for another half. And then you'd do the same way all the way through.
So you started off the first half of the year in first grade, and then the second half of the year you'd be in second grade?
Yeah,
and third.
Because they had each grade divided into 1B and 1A.
So you probably weren't there too long up to eighth grade then, not as long as kids today.
Oh, yeah, you were there 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess so. So you would finish out the first 9 months of school in the first grade, and then would you have a summer break, and then...
Oh, they had a summer break, yeah.
And then go on to the second grade, is that...
Well, you, one school year, you could be... Like, I entered 1B, and it was in the middle of the year. Didn't start at the first of the year.
Mm.
So you finished out that 1B, then next, the following year, when you came back to school, you started in 1A.
Okay.
And then you went from 1A during that school year to 2B.
To 2B, just to catch you up.
Yeah.
Was there any awkward, I guess, interactions having such a wide age group in the same building?
Oh, no. No.
At all?
No. They had sports, and when you got up in the upper grades, well, you participated in the sports and that sort of thing, so.
What kind of sports do you remember?
Oh, they played football and basketball. Didn't have a gym. Mm. You had to go up to the high school and use their, what they call them, the little gym. And that's where the grade schools played their games. I remember having track meets in the spring of the year, against all the grade schools. So it was it was a good experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But then you went through eighth grade through grade school, and then you went into high school as a freshman.
High school as a freshman, ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
And the high school, it was where the middle school is now.
Well, it was on that corner.
It's on that corner.
The old central building set where the middle school sits. And the high school was on the, was right next to it, the corner of M and 4th Street.
M and 4th Street?
Yeah.
Is that currently where the high school is now?
No, the high school now is on K and...
Okay.
Second.
So it was... There's no remnants of the old high school then.
No, other than one of the classes put up a plaque. You can still see the steps that went up to it.
Went up to it?
From the street.
That's about it. Hmm. Okay. You mentioned in our last interview that I thought was really interesting about the stores. That you said there were little general stores on the corners of the neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah. There
plenty of those back then.
There were numerous little grocery stores on a lot of corners in the city, on both sides of the track. In fact, one of them sat right across the street here. But I can remember over there on the north side where we lived, there was one, two, three of them just within blocks of the house.
Within blocks of that. Were those stores used for everything as far as produce and product?
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't stock up like a Safeway does now with produce and meat. They might have a little bit of it there, but I imagine most of their sales were canned goods or like milk and bread and that sort of thing. You could even buy penny candy.
Now, when you went into those stores, was this something you could go in through the aisles and pick what you wanted, or was it an over-the-counter?
No, they went and got it for you.
They went and got it for you.
Yeah. No, that was before the supermarkets.
Before the supermarkets.
And in those days, there was larger markets downtown. there's three or four larger markets there. And it was in later years why here came Piggly Wiggly and Safeway and all those. But and it put the small stores around town out of business, of course.
Mm-hmm. Is that currently, when you refer to those markets, were they in the buildings that are in the historic part of the downtown
area? Right. There's, yeah. Well, I can't tell you where they exactly sat, but there's, I remember Grand Round Market, and it was, what's there where a bookstore is there now. It used to be Trotter's, right in that area. Mm-hmm. There's one up the street about where a beauty shop is now, around in that area. Mm. And
so how often, I'm curious, how often would you, would an average person go and shop at these markets? Were they more likely to go to the neighborhood markets or the big markets?
Well,
I guess
they weren't all that big, but most of those places in those days, I remember my mother calling in an order and they'd deliver it.
And they'd deliver it,
yeah.
Really?
And they'd run a charge account for a month and then pay up. And that's the way my folks operated anyway.
So once a month they'd pay their grocery bill?
Pay their grocery bill.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did they haul them in refrigerated vehicles or the products? Or
no. No, no. They just brought them around in trucks.
In trucks?
And, I suppose it's kind of like a... Well, I can't remember what their delivery trucks were now, but they delivered them. And might even delivered them in cars at times.
And what kind of products would you generally... You said mostly canned goods... would you go to a butcher? And
yeah, they'd have a butcher in those stores.
In those stores?
Yeah. And you can go in there and order your meat from the butcher. And they had vegetables, fresh vegetables, just everything as you wanted in those days. It hadn't been too many years ago that Hub City down here was called Hub City, where the Presbyterian Friendship Hall was Hub City, and they had a meat counter where they butchered the meat and sold it over the counter, got it out of the case for you.
Hmm. That's fascinating. I guess bringing it back a little bit to your father and going through the Great Depression or that time, you mentioned in our last interview a payment system that they used to pay employees during the time, some kind of a note?
Yeah, they were called warrants.
Warrants.
And taxing bodies like the city and the school districts, they paid by warrant. And then when they got enough taxes collected, they'd call those warrants in. And if you held those warrants, they drew interest. So there were people around town that had money in those days would buy those warrants at a discount, and then they'd collect the interest on some of them. And that happened to a lot of people.
Which you have to be fairly wealthy to be able to buy.
But yeah, you'd have to have enough money to do that. And I think my mother cashed some in and had it. Well, she kind of handled the finances. cashed them in with a certain party, and of course she took a discount, but at least she had cash for them. Of course, wages weren't all that great in those years.
So how would these, I guess I'm trying to picture these warrants. Did they just write down what was owed then for the warrant, and when they got...
Oh, no, there was a legal piece of paper that was given out. And I suppose the school clerk or the whoever issued them filled them out, and they probably had a seal on them or something. And to be honest with you, I never saw one, but that's the way they were paid. That went on for, maybe a year or two, and then when the taxing bodies got on their feet, well, they started paying like they usually do, like they do today.
And was that just a certain time of year then?
No, that was during the Depression.
Well, as far as when you got your money, you'd hold on to those warrants until
they were called in.
Like
and then you had to cash them.
Okay. So it would be similar to getting your tax payments back now, in that sense? Well, your refund at the end of the year?
Well, it wasn't at the end of the year. It's, they got, whoever cashed them in drew interest on them, and the school district had to pay the interest.
Okay. Did it, they ever come short on paying those back that you know of?
Not that I know of, no.
So, I guess when you were going through school, did you go through school around the? Did you go through school when your dad was working there at the
yes,
school?
Yes. Yeah.
Was that awkward having your dad in the school?
Well, he wasn't in the same building. No, it wasn't awkward at all. I was in the high school over there. And those were two separate buildings. And he had the same heating plant, but they were two separate buildings, school buildings.
Okay. I guess as far as bringing it back to his popularity amongst the kids, do you know of any incidences that you remember that might have drawn him or drawn the kids to him to have liked him so much?
Oh, I really can't answer that. I don't. He just liked to josh with him, as he called it, and maybe one of them get in trouble, and he'd kind of see if they were in trouble and talk to them a little bit, that sort of thing. But I really wasn't around with him when he was doing that.
Now, I guess you mentioned going into high school in the ninth grade. You were into sports in high school. Which sports did you play while you were in high school?
Well, I played football, basketball, and track.
Football, basketball, and track. Any favorite one?
Well, I suppose basketball was probably the favorite one. But I just played 1 year of football in my senior year, so.
Can you say why you might have liked basketball so much?
Well, I don't know. I guess I was more suited for it for a while at that time. And worked your way up, you know, and you played on the junior varsity or the B team, probably in your sophomore year. And freshman, you just played class with basketball. Developed a knack for it in those years, and played it in my junior and senior years. And the Grand at that time had a string four consecutive going to state, and we made the fifth team to go to state. So I don't know, just a thing to do, I guess.
Major form of entertainment, would you say?
Yeah, it's a lot different than it used to be. Basketball in those days was, I think I told you the first time that we, it was during that last year played in high school, that was the last year they jumped ball after every basket. And if you had a held ball, it was jumped anywhere on the floor, wouldn't take the ball out of bounds. So that was a kind of a milestone. Then in track, I ran the dashes and kind of specialized in the quarter mile.
Quarter mile, so you were fast.
Well, fairly fast.
Fast and short.
Went to the state track meet and participated there.
Was that a big event at the time?
That was all the schools in Oregon.
Including, was there divisions, 3A,
No, there wasn't any divisions then.
So So everyone was there.
Everyone was
there. So that is a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
so
later
it.
The divisions came in.
But
we competed against all the B schools and the A schools, what they are now, B schools and A schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all in one pot. In fact, the year I won the, went to state basketball, the championship team was a little B school that called, what was it called? Can't think of it right offhand. Bell Fountain. It was down by Salem. Didn't even exist anymore. And they had about a dozen boys in school, and they won the state championship.
So it was possible for a smaller school to come through and win against some of the bigger schools.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's.
In fact, they beat Lincoln High School of Portland.
That doesn't happen
too
often.
For the championship, well, it couldn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult in that sense. I guess I'd like to come back too and touch on baseball, I guess, as a form of entertainment. You mentioned how the field, there was a field put in, and then there was a lot of baseball games.
Well, I never personally played baseball on a team myself, but except in a sandlot, so to speak. But the high school baseball field was up there in the northeast corner, southwest corner of the what is now the soccer field. And the high school had a team, and they competed in. Well, they competed against Ember and Elgin and all those places. And that was the start of high school baseball. And that field was put in up there when I was in high school, a grass field. And they had lights. They aren't there any longer. And so we... Well, our football team dedicated that. It was in 1937.
Dedicated the field?
Dedicated the field. And then that southwest corner was where the baseball part of it was.
Hmm. And that's, was there city leagues involved in playing? And
not in baseball.
Not in baseball.
But there was in softball.
Okay, softball. And... was that a big, fun time for a lot of people?
Well, that was a city. That wasn't. That was adults and whatnot played played the softball team. Yeah.
Played the softball team. You mentioned something about the CCC workers.
Yeah,
and would play.
That, in those days, it was what? In the 30s. There was a CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps, up at Hillgard, and they participated. A lot of those players are from back east, if I remember right, and they participated in the softball league.
And how was
I wasn't playing at that time, but I was just watching. But just well, like the mill and. Island City out here had a team, and Elks had a team, and I can't remember all the teams, but they competed.
Were these games pretty competitive?
Oh, yeah, they were real competitive in a lot of cases.
Was there any, competition against the, real big competition against the CCC workers versus the local players, being that they're from the East Coast and outsiders?
Well, they were in the league like anybody else. I can remember they probably had one of the better teams.
Really?
But the city lit people, or the ones in town and around the county, were very competitive with them.
Hmm. And would they drive in from Hillgard? Is that how they...
Oh, I suppose they trucked them in, yeah.
Trucked them in? All together on the back of a truck?
Well... They just had a team. The whole everybody was at the CCCs didn't play. It was just fellows
that wanted to.
That wanted to. And probably the better ball players.
Were they, these men, I heard that oftentimes these CCC workers were sometimes criminals or...
not in those days.
Not in those days.
They were just, that just a result of the times during the Depression. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the programs that they, to get young people off the streets and get them to work in the to join the CCC.
Do you think it added some spirit to Union County or LeGrand?
Oh, it did at the time, I suppose, yeah.
Do you have any memories of that?
Well, no, I was just young punk then.
Yeah.
So, they were, that was just a program. It was during Roosevelt's, mm-hmm. one of his programs.
I guess one of the things I was trying to draw on last time was I was picturing that these baseball games being as almost like a centerpiece of drawing the community together in a form of entertainment. And
the softball part of it, not the baseball.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we ran out of tape on side A, and this is side B now, and we're picking up the interview talking about the softball and the baseball kind of being a centerpiece, possibly for the community, drawing in the community during hard times. And you were talking about the baseball and softball where we left off.
Well, the softball, there would be, I can't remember how many teams, but several teams. And they'd play certain nights up at the what is now the soccer field, and they had the bleachers all around the field at that time. The bleachers aren't there any longer, and a backstop, of course, and I think they charged a nickel to get into the game, and they just had this regular scheduled softball during the summertime.
Hmm. Now you said those bleachers, was this like a stadium made out of wood, or was this just similar to what we have now, the portable steel bleachers?
Oh, they were all wood, and of course they became in disrepair over the years. Had to be disposed of, but I think they even took one over to the new college field over there, one or two of them, and there was a sections of them up here on the soccer field not too long ago. I think they had to be replaced, but they were there for up until just two or three years ago, and they encircled that field up there, the soccer, mm-hmm. what is now the soccer field. Mm-hmm. In those days, and they were there for years.
How many people would come and watch these games, do you think?
Well, they'd fill those bleachers, particularly for the playoff game or something. They'd fill those. They were just at that one end of the field, they'd fill them. It wasn't all the way around.
All the way around. If you could take an estimate, what do you think would be the number of people that would come to these games?
And I wouldn't have any idea what it was, but it'd be
in the hundreds.
Maybe it would be in the hundreds, yeah.
Hmm. And do you have any type of something that brings you back to these games? Certain smells, or maybe sounds, or something that could bring back a memory of them? You said you were young, obviously. And
I'm kind of reminded of them how they did it in those days, going to see the Little League and all that we see now. but there, I just got memories of going to those games, that's all.
Now, after you graduated from high school, what was your next step in life that you decided to take?
Well, I went to Willamette University.
Right out of high school?
Yeah, right out of high school in Salem. And graduated with the class that made that school 100 years old. And it's one claim to fame is it's the oldest university west of the Mississippi.
Mm.
Still is, I guess, would be.
Yeah. Because it's not getting any younger.
No. So the school was 100 years old when I graduated.
What was your interest, though? What were you?
Oh, I more or less took kind of a business course.
Business?
Played basketball and track.
Did you have any dreams of what you wanted to be once you graduated?
No, that was a liberal arts college. And it just so happened that the war was on, and recruiting officers came to this. To the school and recruited people, and so I joined up, but you had to graduate before you could get into it. I got into the V7 program, as they called it. Got sent to Chicago, to Northwestern University, and came out of there with an ensign, and then went to war, or went to sea.
Was there a certain excitement, I guess, at the time, with this war going on? And
well, everybody, it was a war that everybody was into it. They knew that we'd been attacked, and we just had to win it. And it was an altogether different feeling than the one we're in now, Iraq.
As far as could you make a comparison of the attacks, how people felt after our most recent attack, and how people felt at the time, or how you felt at the time?
Well,
when
Pearl Harbor was a real surprise, and it just so happened the Willamette football team was over there at that time, so you had a lot of memories of that, and I wasn't with them, but then, of course, knew a lot of the players. And but this was entirely different attack, I think. But not maybe so much different, because they used suicide bombers and whatnot in Pearl Harbor, and so. People were on the other side were committing suicide. But it really drew the nation together.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you have a certain sense of duty that you felt you needed to do?
Oh no, You either joined up or you got drafted, so in those days, that hasn't happened today yet. So it's better to enlist than it was to get drafted, and at least you had a little choice.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you got out of the Navy, right?
Yeah.
When you got out of the Navy, did you return right back to Union County, or...
Yeah, I returned to Union County and took a job down in Portland working for PGE in the customer service department, but I could see there wasn't any future in that, so I came back here and went to school up here and got a teacher's degree, and that's how I got into the teaching profession.
Now you said there wasn't a future in working in customer service, and you came back over here. I'm curious, out of all the possibilities you could have had, you were wanting to get into teaching in your initial major when you were in college was business. Is there any particular reason you decided on teaching?
Well, you had to have something to nab onto when you graduated, and that same and the school up here was a good education school, and I just felt more at home, and of course the GI Bill was in effect, and so that paid for it, and I just wanted to come back here.
Did Union County, and I guess LeGrand in particular, was there a change after you got back, or was it pretty much the same place for you? Was there a different feeling when you came back after traveling in on the sea? And
of course, a lot of your friends and whatnot have probably left the community, but not really, because I started teaching school even before I finished school up here. Got a job over in Old Central where my dad was a janitor previously. He wasn't there then, but then I just felt more at home.
Was it the same school building that worked in?
Yeah, same one.
Was there still people there that remembered your dad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, I taught with three or four of them. And,
colleagues, teachers?
No, they were grade school. In fact, I taught with two of them. They were that taught me in grade school.
Wow. So, I guess I'm curious as to the teaching in Union County at the time after you came back, is there any, I guess, positive memories that you had when you were teaching that you can remember? Maybe even some bad memories that stand out of your career. You obviously had a very long teaching career, and there's got to be some very amazing events that have occurred throughout that time.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of them, but first year was a seventh grade teaching assignment, and there were about close to 38 kids in the room. And that particular a group of kids had their high school reunion here just last summer, summer before last, and I went down to that and saw those people that I taught the first year I taught school, good share of them, and from there I went into they put me in the science downstairs in those days where they had all the eighth grades go to the old central building, and they were down on the first floor, and I was in that job 2 years. And that's where I taught with Miss Mager and Mrs. Hester, who taught me in grade school. And from there, they assigned me a principalship down at Willow School, and I was there for several years, and spent as a principal at Central and Greenwood, well, all of them except Island City. In fact, I was even at the junior high school for 3 years.
For 3 years. So how long did you teach before you moved into administration?
3 years.
3 years? And was there any particular reason you decided to go into administration, or...
No, they offered me the job, and I took it.
And you took it?
Yeah, it was different in those days. There wasn't so many hoops to jump through, and they took me out of the eighth grade teaching eighth grade science, and assigned me to Willow School, and and so I took it.
So you took it. While you were teaching here in the county, were there other other activities you partook in besides the teaching world?
I officiated for several years, basketball, football, but around the area, college and whatnot. So that was an interest in those days. Of course, you get too old for that pretty soon.
Yeah, that's a lot of running around, isn't it? Did you coach at all?
Yeah, I coached in grade school my first year, and all part of the most coaching I did was the 8th grade basketball team.
So when you say grade school, you're still referring to the 1st through 8th grade?
No. In the 7th grade, the schools in those days, when I started teaching, were going 1 through 7. And I happened to have the 7th grade at Central, the old Central. And I coached the football and the basketball and the track and whatnot. And they paid you $180 a year for it.
And, for all of those to get combined?
All of them combined.
So it was a volunteer thing, essentially.
Well, more or less. But yeah. Anyway, I did that. And then when I was in 8th grade, I coached the 8th grade basketball and helped with the football.
For 8th grade as well?
Well, they combined the football, 8th and 9th, and I helped there, but in basketball they separated them and had 8th and 9th, and I did the 8th grade.
Did you have any memorable moments coaching?
Oh, yeah.
That stand out? Maybe
we almost won all our games, went to Hill Military to a tournament. I think we took 3rd.
Hill Military? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, that's down in Portland. I don't think it exists anymore.
So. You took a trip over there to compete.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your coaching experience?
Oh, yeah, but once you get to be in administration, you can't do both of them, so.
Mm-hmm. Were you involved in any veterans organizations while you were here?
No, I really didn't. I never did join the Legion or the... Well, I joined the Veterans Foreign Wars, but I didn't keep up with membership.
Mm-hmm. Is there any particular reason?
No.
I know my grandfather's very into that and adamant. I'm just curious, because not everyone is, and why you might have not been so.
No, I didn't have anything against either organization. I just never joined.
What about other forms of activities did you that you took part in when you weren't working, just for entertainment, you and your wife?
Oh gosh, that's hard to answer. I don't know. She had some social groups, and we participated in those. And I belonged to the Elks. To the Lions Club, so really we were kept quite busy because we were both teaching.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is a busy job for sure. What kind of things did the Elk Lodge do? Was it pretty much the same type of functions they do today, or do you have any memories of that?
Oh yeah, I still belong to Elks, and it's a good organization. It's just like every other organization; they have a hard time keeping members. It's just a sign of the times. But the Elks give more scholarships than any other organization in the United States. And they promote youth activities and of course have their own social events and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, they do a lot of good things.
Now, you mentioned, I guess, back in your youth, attending theaters, going to the theater. Where was that theater located?
There were three theaters. One is where Domino's Pizza is now. That's a theater. In fact, the stage is still there, I understand.
Hmm.
There was one about where the nightclub is there. Trapadera, and there's one, and then the Granada, and that's still there.
That's still there?
Yeah.
Was the outside theater?
That came in later years.
Later years?
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of those theaters? I guess how often?
We used to have, down at the Granada, we used to go, I think it was one night a week, and you got in two for 15 cents or something like that. And the Liberty was the more plush one, and they had ushers and women or girls ushered and whatnot, and had a balcony.
Which one was the Liberty?
The one where Domino's is.
Okay. So it had a balcony.
The high school used to have their operettas down there, because they didn't have a place at the high school. And the State Theater didn't function too many years.
The State Theater?
Yeah, it was called the State Theater. It's where the Trapadero is.
Was it, why would they call it that?
I don't know why they called it that.
Was it based on the state of Oregon?
No, it was just, all I know is called the State Theater.
State Theater. That's interesting.
As far as I know, I don't know why they call the Liberty Liberty or the Granada Granada.
So you would go, would you go almost every night to a theater?
Oh, no, no.
Okay. Thought you'd mention, you said that once a night.
Well, one night a week. That's when we...
Oh, one night a week.
Yeah. That was at the Granada.
And two for two people for 15 cents.
Yeah, one night a week.
I heard there was sometimes pranks that went along with those theaters and the times.
Well, the shows were, they'd have a newscast and then a comedy and what do you call them, like Mickey Mouse, cartoon, and then the previews, and then the main feature. And a lot of them, particularly there at the Granada, what kept you going back was, each week, was they had what they called a serial. And then probably be a cowboy show of some sort. And something dangerously would happen at the end of one episode, and you'd have to come back the next week to see what took place, how they got out of that.
And it'd just be a continuation?
Yeah, they'd go on for 12 or 13.
When you say serial, I guess, how would you spell that?
S-E-R-I-A-L.
I-A-L? Do you know why they called them that?
Well, it was a series of...
Series, okay.
Series of events.
And they were usually westerns, or...
Yeah, most generally westerns. In fact, they were all westerns.
That's cruel. Keep you waiting a whole week until the next the next episode. Is there, I guess, any other memories that stick out about the theaters? And maybe how they looked?
Well, like I say, the Liberty was the more plush.
And they would usher you?
They'd usher you to your seat, and there was a balcony, and then downstairs,
what was the downstairs.
Yeah, just like the seats you have, they'd be soft seats and that sort
of thing. Oh, okay, I see. There's an upper, did those seats up above cost more?
No.
Just whoever got them first?
That's where you took your date.
And that was that often what it was used for?
Well, yeah, the young folks sat up there more or less.
So, did you meet your wife here in Union County?
No, my wife in the service.
In the service.
Chicago.
Okay, I think you were mentioning that in the last interview. And at what point did you get married and decide that?
Oh, we got married in 44. And we got married here in Grand. She came out here. And so we've lived here 60 years. We've been married 60 years plus now.
So was she originally from Chicago?
Well, she's from Illinois, yeah.
From Illinois?
Yeah, she's working in Chicago at the time.
Was there a hard adjustment for her coming out west as far as a different culture and being that far away from family?
Oh, yeah, she's still not used to all the mountains. But she's made her.
What do you mean by that?
Friends. Well, she just...
Not used to the mountains.
Well, they don't have mountains in Illinois. It's all flat. Here you're enclosed with mountains, more or less.
Was there, I guess, what was her perceptions of Union County when she first moved here?
Well, I think she missed being back where the folks. We took some trips back there, of course. But over the years, why she's adjusted and been very active in several organizations and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you oftentimes hear the myth of the West and what the West represents. And did that fulfill her expectations? Did LeGrand fulfill her expectations, maybe, of what the West was?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to ask her. I don't know about that. It wasn't all that wild then.
Okay. I appreciate your time with this interview and sitting down with me a second time. And I think we got most of the information that I came to collect. And I appreciate it.
Appreciate your coming. I hope it solves the problem.